soccer, nonsense, and everything in between. Some Canadian guys talking about soccer.
All right, hello everyone, and thanks for listening to the Some Canadian Guys Talking About Soccer podcast, available on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. This is Daniel Squizzato, a.k.a. Squiz, and I am joined, as usual, by my two fellow writers, fellow podcasters, and fellow Canadian guys. First, a man who just got over his New Year's Eve hangover. He's my fellow writer at CanadianSoccerNews.com, Grant Surridge. Grant?
Yes.
How's it going?
Well, yeah, like you said, I just got over the hangover, so better.
Well, hope
better than it was on January 1st in the morning.
Hopefully you're recovered enough to get through this wonderful program we have. Also with us, the man who will single-handedly save humanity from the impending Mayan apocalypse. Good luck with that one, by the way. He's also a soccer writer for Sportsnet.ca and senior editor at Sportsnet magazine, Jamie Doyle. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good.
I think this billing was kind of unfair. Jamie's saving the world. I'm recovering from a hangover.
Listen, Grant, everything in proportion, everything in moderation, which is kind of...
I've teamed up with Jerry Bruckheimer for this project. There's going to be a lot of explosions. We may destroy the world, but it will be saved in the process.
Next week on Some Canadian Guys, Michael Bay discusses FC Edmonton. Not quite. But on this week's show, we will look at the year ahead. We will make some bold predictions for 2012. We'll be joined later on by Fox Soccer Report anchor Michelle Lissel, who will weigh in with a bit of global perspective in that regard. Later on in promotion relegation, we will hit on such topics as Tim Howard, Macedonian public misconduct, and Chicken McNuggets.
We're going to hit on Tim Howard.
Well, no. He's kind of a big guy. I would not advise that.
Offer him some Chicken McNuggets. You don't know how far it'll go.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Make sure to stay tuned for Taste the Trivia as well, where you will find out how you could be a part of this show and potentially win a new zip-up jacket courtesy of Umbro Canada. But before any of that, gentlemen... This is our first show of 2012. We took last week off, and so this time of year brings with it a lot of cliche, hackneyed questions. So I'm going to pose a couple of those cliche, hackneyed questions
Woo-hoo!
To the two of you. Grant, in light of what was just said here, I'll give you the option of which question you'd like to answer. You can either tell us how your holiday break and New Year's Eve went, or you can tell us about any New Year's resolutions you may have for 2012. Or you can combine the two, or you can ignore it entirely.
I make resolutions constantly. Just the entire year is one resolution after another, none of which are followed through on, so I never make them on January 1st.
Yeah, I think you may be confusing resolution with another word, but...
Yeah.
So you don't have any New Year's resolutions then? So what did you get up to on New Year's Eve then?
I was in a hot tub.
Was it a hot tub time machine?
No, unfortunately it wasn't.
Were you the only person in this hot tub?
No, there was other people.
Was it a bathtub?
No, it was a hot tub. It had jets and everything. And
you
it was outside. It was outside on a deck.
Was it in Winnipeg? Were you in the hot tub with the Winnipeg Jets?
I was in Toronto.
All right.
Breaking news. Grant was in a hot tub with Evander Kane and Nick Antropov. Is Nick Antropov still in the NHL?
I believe so, yes.
Well, that's a shame. Jamie?
Yeah.
Same questions over to you. How was your break, or do you have any resolutions for 2012?
The question is pretty hackneyed, and so will my answer be. Work out more, lose a little bit of weight.
Those all go together.
It's exciting stuff.
Just be healthier,
is that really your resolution? Lose some weight?
Well, I don't know. Mostly be healthier. I like that, because that can be interpreted in any number of ways, and I can just going along 6 months from now, I can... pinpoint a way that I've been healthier just by doing the same thing.
So ironically enough, your resolution is to not have the weekly/daily resolutions that Grant tends to have as the year goes along. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't even get that far. I think about it, but then I don't bother to resolve anything.
I kind of put it in air quotes there. I'm assuming when Grant says weekly resolutions, he means...
daily. I mean, we're just constant self-improvement that ultimately improves nothing.
So what were you really going to improve this morning then?
He's going to learn Portuguese this morning.
on the subway on the way here.
Yeah.
Grant?
Yes.
You can work on pronouncing foreign names.
Okay.
How about that?
Pronouncing four names?
Foreign names.
Foreign names, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like four names better. Just give me four that I'll have them.
You're supposed to pick specific goals. So four foreign names.
All right, Grant, if you can pronounce four names, anyone's names, by the end of this show, you will have succeeded in your resolution for January 5th.
I'm not gonna give anything away, but I already see one name down here that I'm definitely not going to pronounce correctly.
So. Pointing to a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Well, you'll just have to utter five names over the course of the show.
All right.
There you go.
I can do that.
Well, that's something to look forward to on this show, but there's plenty to look forward to in the year of head. The year of head. Wow. The year ahead.
Sounds like like the year of the snake.
Oh, boy. Getting this one off to a good start. The year ahead, 2012, will bring us many interesting storylines in the world of domestic soccer. As I said, we'll be speaking to Michelle Lissel later on, who will give us a bit of global perspective. But on the domestic scene, I want us to hit on and make a number of predictions about some things that are going to be going on in the year ahead. The first one that comes to mind here, because there's a bit of buzz around it right now, Toronto FC facing off with the Los Angeles Galaxy in the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. There's a lot to get at here. David Beckham's supposed move to PSG has fallen through. He may be back with the Galaxy. Landon Donovan back over at Everton. Who knows where he may be? There's a number of other players with LA who may or may not be there. So, Jamie, I'll turn this over to you first and just ask, what do you think, realistically, are TFC's chances in this home and away? New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I don't like them. I don't fancy them, to be perfectly honest.
Why is that?
I think TFC is going to get close. They might win one of the games, but in the end, they're not going to win the tie.
Well, that's unfortunate. Grant?
Well, no, this is interesting because we were talking about resolutions. One of my daily resolutions sort of at the end of last year was to make better talking points. which I've written up here for today, but the drawback of that is if you don't ask me the exact question that I'm expecting.
Okay, well then let me read your talking points here. You've written resolutions down there. Okay. Grant?
Yes.
What do you think the attendance will be like at this game?
Okay. Well, I think TFC they're probably going to only attract about 25,000 people to the Sky Dome.
You put the little tilde next to 25,000 to mean about.
About 25,000.
Like you said, okay, when you started it, like, oh, an unexpected question that I shall field with my vast knowledge.
Funny you should ask, Quiz, and funny that this paper should have exactly
completely
what I wanted
nowhere,
to say.
I'll say 25,000.
So 25,000, I mean, that's less than half capacity at the... You didn't say Sky Dome, did you? You meant Rogers Center.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, Rogers Center.
I wrote Sky Dome.
Well, there you go. So why is that, Grant? Moving on to the next point.
Let's see, second bullet point. Well, I mean, in Toronto,
good
I think
thing we had 2 weeks to prepare for this episode. We're really letting all this preparation shine.
It's all coming through. I don't think that TFC necessarily has the profile. A big enough profile in the city to attract 55,000 people to the Rogers Center, especially at the time. I mean, if the Leafs are still in the playoff race, if the Raptors are in the playoff race, I don't really know too much about
the Raptors
basketball.
Aren't
so I don't know if that's going to happen. But
Grant, they canceled the NBA season.
No, they didn't. I know that much.
Blast.
I was watching it yesterday on television.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to, I think I know what your answer is going to be on this here, but it is one of the big talking points of this game. I was going to say the prediction. Will this game attract more than 40,000 people to the Rogers Center? So, Grant, I think I know your answer.
Right.
Well, Jamie?
Hey, you know his answer. He just said it out loud.
You wish you had some talking points, don't you?
Jamie, yes or no? And feel free to add some talking points of your own.
Well, I didn't write anything down. I didn't resolve to write them down. I don't think so. I'm kind of with Grant on this one. I think the Montreal experience where they managed to pack the big O for their quarterfinal game was kind of a one-off. I don't know how they did it exactly.
They gave a bunch of tickets away, right? A very low price.
I mean, that's supposedly what Toronto FC is going to be doing very soon. And the tickets will go on sale fairly soon.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be, by and large, quite cheap, like under $20 or $20.
I thought it was like 20 was the cheapest.
Well, we're recording this on Thursday morning. TFC is holding a press conference tomorrow morning on Friday to announce details about the quarterfinal tie, which we can only imagine, based on the fact that we know who it's against and where it is, could only be ticket information. It was reported the other week over at Canadian Soccer News that the majority of the tickets would be available for around or under $20, which might help them pack the house a little bit. We'll find out for sure on Friday, but Jamie, you're saying no way.
To pack? No, not to pack it in. I'd say 30. I'm going to go with 35,000 as my top end Yes.
Could you be a little more specific?
No.
Okay, exactly 35,000.
Yep.
I'm going to say just the fact that I'm going to say yes, they will, only because no one really expected this in Montreal either. And considering that Montreal was a second division club at the time, you talk about, Grant, the profile that TFC has in the city. The Impact didn't have anywhere near the marketing muscle behind them that Toronto FC does. Now, whether or not Toronto is able to properly flex that marketing muscle is yet to be seen. But realistically, there are 40,000 people. There are 50, 60,000 people who know when this game is, can pay $20, and could get there and have an interest in the team. So I really don't see why not.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought what happened in Montreal was that they not gave the tickets away, but charged something like $5, and then there was a lot of youth clubs from the area who
showed up. There have been a lot of
like really, really, really cheap tickets.
Yeah, but I mean, really, if you want to see this game, is the difference between, you know, $5 and $20 going to be the deal breaker? Man, I really want to see the TFC play in the Champions League quarterfinal, but $20, I can't quite swing that. I mean, I just don't see that happening. Anyway, we've made our predictions there. We'll move on to another team that has some trouble packing it in from time to time. The Canadian men's national team taking part in the third round of World Cup qualifying this year in a group against Cuba, Panama, and Honduras. This, of course, will decide whether or not Canada makes it to the final round of CONCACAF World Cup qualifying next year, also known as the Hex. So we've got six games this year. We don't know where the games will be. We know when they'll be. But, Jamie, I'll turn it over to you first. What can we realistically expect from the Canadian men's national team in this round of World Cup qualifying?
I think we can realistically expect a second-place finish, so a squeaker but a qualification through.
So it's a group of four, and the top two advance to the Hex. So you're saying that Canada will make it through to the Hex with who, I must ask?
With Honduras.
Of course.
I think that, I mean, Cuba we should be able to take without too much of a problem.
Yeah.
And Panama we just couldn't beat in the Gold Cup, and I think we've improved more than that tiny little, like, last 15 seconds of an amount to get us beyond them.
We essentially have to make sure that there's less injury time in the game that we play against them versus the game in the Gold Cup, and we'll be set. Grant?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jamie seems to be relatively optimistic about this. He sees Canada going through. What do you see?
I also see them going
through. Wait, let me check your talking points.
I was expecting this one.
Oh, Grant?
This is going to sound much more natural. Yes.
How do you think Canada will do against Panama?
I expect Canada... Well, no. Yeah, I got to look at the talking points to do it properly. I think... Based on absolutely nothing,
I feel.
Based on absolutely nothing, I think Canada is going to get lucky against Panama.
Ooh, how so?
Get lucky. They will be lucky. They will receive some luck.
Luck from the soccer gods.
Yes.
Will that be enough to put them through?
Yes.
Not the one game, of course, but in general sense.
In two games. They'll need the luck in two games.
Yeah, those
against Panama.
I mean, those are going to be the two most important ones. They play the home and away against Panama in, if I'm not mistaken, September, following the first game in Cuba in June, followed by the home date against Honduras. So there's been no substantive discussion about this yet. So I just want to quickly ask. So it seems like you both are predicting that Canada will qualify for the Hex. Yes.
Yes.
Well, then, just to be the pessimist, I'll say that they won't. But another thing we can quickly hit on: where will the home games be played? Jamie, three home dates, one against Honduras, one against Cuba, one against Panama. Any thoughts?
It's a tough one. They're either going to do something like they did for the previous round and put them all in one place, or they're going to spread them out kind of ridiculously as they always have done. So I'm going to say
those would be the two main options.
I'm going to say Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver.
That's not spreading enough. They put them in like St. John's, Nanaimo, and Alert.
Medicine Hat.
And play a fourth game in Windsor just for the hell of it. Grant, what do you think?
I'm also saying Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto.
I would,
if it was up to me, I would say Honduras and Toronto, Panama and Montreal, and Cuba and Vancouver.
All right. I'm going to say all three in Moncton. Go Moncton. Not really, no.
Well, what are you actually going to say then?
Yeah, you can't just hide behind Moncton all your life.
Well, we realistically, as always, have... I can't hide behind Moncton my whole life.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's what I was told as a boy, and yet I'm still here. Realistically, I would imagine that, as you said, it's probably going to be against Honduras in Toronto just to try to capitalize on some of the momentum gained in the three games played in late 2011 there. I can only imagine that one of the games has to be in Vancouver, and Montreal is the other seemingly natural venue. The only question is what state Saputo Stadium is in. I imagine that once you get to September, October, excuse me, you know, the stadium will be good to go. The Impact will be playing there, and it'll be a suitable venue. But we'll see. You know,
I just hope they. I really hope they don't play Honduras in Montreal.
No, I think that's the one thing that everyone is hoping against hope that doesn't happen against Honduras in Montreal, which of course means that it will happen. That's a great way to look at the year ahead. A team that is giving us another cause for optimism and a team that we know will be playing in Vancouver later on this month is the Canadian women's national team as they attempt to qualify for the upcoming London Olympics. Grant flips his page to his women's national team talking points. Maybe I'll just read these ahead of time I know.
The talking points, I need the talking points in front of me when I answer the question.
Okay, fair enough. So they are going to attempt to qualify for this summer's London Olympics. Seemingly an easy row. They've got Costa Rica, Haiti, and Cuba in their group. But really, it's going to come down to the semifinal against the U.S. or Mexico. Win, and they're in. Lose, and they're not. It's that simple. Most likely will be Mexico. But let's just be hopeful, as we were last year, and say the women's team makes it to this summer's Olympics. Based on anything that you'd like, Grant?
Uh-huh.
How do you think that our women's national team will do in the 12-team tournament in London this summer at the Olympic Games?
I have them down here for the semifinals.
Ooh, it's written in ink, so you know that it's good. Now, Grant, there were a lot of bold predictions last year about how far Canada would make it in the Women's World Cup, and of course we saw that it was the absolute opposite that happened there. Is there something that's changed that gives you that renewed sense of optimism?
Well, the coach. The manager has changed. No, I kind of think that because there were all those bold predictions, and I think the players probably feel that they need to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I think they'll do that. I think this time around they will prove themselves. And where they sort of underwhelmed last time, I think they will overwhelm this time.
I like that a number of things you've said are kind of 2012 making up for 2011. I like that. Jamie, what do you think?
I think I'm more hopeful than you seem to be about getting through to the Olympics in the first place.
Oh, no. Listen.
And life in general.
Realistically, it's going to come down, as I said, it's going to come down to one game, and it would seem to be an easy enough path, but as we saw in qualifying for the 2011 Women's World Cup, the U.S. slipped up in the semifinal against Mexico. Tournament was in Mexico, of course.
I don't see that happening again.
Especially on Canadian soil, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So I'd see them, you know, making it through. How well they do, I'm not optimistic in the actual tournament. I mean, that's been Canada's kind of problem, is that they can do well enough, they can get there, but then it's the world stage that kind of kills them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say...
Top four finish 8 years ago, though.
Well, that's 8 years ago, though. I'd say quarterfinals.
All right. Good stuff. I would... I didn't realize these questions would actually be turned on me. I don't have to turn them on myself. I would say, Grant, I'm going to go with what you're going. It's a smaller tournament. They have a bit of a renewed focus, as you say, under John Herdman. So I'm going to say semifinals. They've been there before, different players, of course. But I'm hopeful for a semifinal appearance for the Canadian team at the Olympics. Canadian women's team. The Canadian men's team came very close to qualifying the last time out. The tournament for that hasn't begun. It's a little bit different on the men's side. So maybe we'll just quickly say yes or no. Will the Canadian men's team qualify for the 2012 Olympics based on anything or nothing?
Canada's youth is getting better and better. And I think if we came close last time, this time we can push over that hump.
Sweet. Grant?
Based on nothing, no.
Okay. Well, then... I'll say yes to break the tie, because this will be a year of optimism, dag nabbit.
Yeah, no, none of Grant's hurtful, arbitrary comments.
Yeah, Grant, nothing hurtful and arbitrary in 2012.
Make a note of that.
Make that a resolution in your talking points.
I'll make it a talking point.
The one last thing we are going to speak about here in terms of our predictions on the domestic front here is, of course, the domestic league, what is technically our Division I league, Major League Soccer. The Montreal Impact will be joining Major League Soccer. I don't imagine that's news to anybody who's listening, but if it is, yeah, it's happening. Imagine that. We're going to have three... What? The Montreal... Cool. Three Canadian teams in the league this year, of course, Montreal joining Toronto and Vancouver. The rosters of the three teams, of course, are always in flux, but we saw Toronto and Vancouver have rather disappointing seasons last year. And for that matter, Montreal had a pretty disappointing season last year in their last campaign in the second division. So, Grant, I'm going to turn this over to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at your talking points so I know what to ask. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Could this be the year, let's just start with the with Toronto FC, could this be the year that they qualify for the playoffs in MLS?
Yeah, well, I think TFC will be the only Canadian team to qualify for the playoffs this year.
Ouch.
Despite the fact Vancouver has signed Lee Young-Pyo.
You don't think Lee Young-Pyo is going to put them over the top?
I don't think he's going to do it, now.
For the record, Grant's at one foreign name on the show. Everyone listening, everyone keeping track.
Yep.
Of course, you had the advantage of living in Korea for 5 years, so...
Well, you never specified, so...
True enough.
Bada-bam.
So, Grant, you're saying one of the three, Jamie.
Yes.
If I were to say to you, which I'm going to, how many Canadian teams will we see in the MLS playoffs at the end of the season? 10 out of 19 teams are going to make it. How many of those Canadian clubs are going to be in that mix?
Yeah, just the one. Just Toronto FC.
They will be in the playoffs.
They will be in the playoffs. I don't see Vancouver improving on, what was it, last place finish?
Yep.
To the degree of getting into the playoffs this year, Lee Young-Pyo aside... and Montreal, they've still got some time to make some enormous buys in the transfer window, but I don't see them making enough to get themselves into the playoffs.
Now, the question, of course, is where Montreal is going to find its Canadian talent from. This was posted about on Red Nation Online by a listener and friend of ours, Fred. He was asking where will the Canadian talent come from for the Montreal Impact? Currently, they've got two Canadians signed, Patrice Bernier and Greg Sutton. They need a third to match the...
presumably, it'll come from Canada.
Well, one would hope so, unless it's, you know, unless it's their equivalent of Alain Rochette, who, you know, over in Vancouver is a Canadian, yet could not play for Canada even if he wanted to, capped for Switzerland, of course. So where do you think... Are they going to go after someone like Olivier Osien or something, or are they going to more or less just call up an academy kid and sit him on the bench? Grant?
Well, I'd prefer if they went after Olivier Osien.
I don't think Olivier Osien would prefer that. He's doing pretty well where he is.
Yeah, in the German second division, that's a good point.
Will they find a way to steal Andre Haino from Houston?
I hope so.
I think that's what they want.
Will they? This is the show of predictions, Jamie, not just hopes.
Yeah, sure. Why not? If not, maybe Jacob Lenski could be their Alain Rochette.
Wow. That could be a dangerous move to go after.
That'd be a fan favorite.
Okay.
So. They could always... Elie Gerba is always just sort of hanging around in Montreal.
Yeah, but...
Just saying.
But anybody can hang around. I mean, hanging around in Montreal is a great Canadian pastime.
That's true.
I mean, there's all kind. You know, there's... a buttload of 17- and 18-year-old kids just hanging around in Montreal, many of whom are now NDP MPs. is that a little too political? I don't know. Nor do I care. I'm going to say, just for the hell of it, that two Canadian teams are going to make the playoffs. One of them will be... No, I'll say Vancouver and Montreal. Toronto won't make it. Vancouver and Montreal will both make the playoffs.
You don't actually mean that, though.
I think you're just trying to wind people up.
Just to increase the self-hatred amongst Toronto sports fans, they're going to watch the Whitecaps and Impact find their way into the MLS playoffs before Toronto FC does. Because this is a long-term plan for Aaron Winter. He's not looking to make the playoffs this year. He's looking to build a championship team for the future.
That's interesting. My talking point has the Winter Revolution will start to produce results with Winter Revolution in quotes.
So,
you're reading this like you've never read your talking points before.
It was late last night when I was drawing it
up. You're just surprised to find things in there.
Wow.
You would make the perfect Ron Burgundy, Grant. Just put anything up
on
a teleprompter.
On the teleprompter. Yeah.
Lee Young-Pyo loves lamp. Very interesting stuff. Anyway, that is the year ahead in Canadian soccer from our perspective, such as it is. We are now going to be joined by Fox Soccer Report anchor Michelle Lissel, who will weigh in with a bit of global perspective on what the year ahead has to hold. Joining us now on the line from Winnipeg, Manitoba, you can see her behind the desk for the Fox Soccer Report on Fox Sports World Canada or Fox Soccer Channel in the U.S., Michelle Lissel. Michelle, welcome to the Some Canadian Guys show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you on the show. Now, obviously, on the Fox Soccer Report, you guys cover the wide world of soccer, and that's why we wanted to talk to you to get a bit of global perspective. We've been making some predictions about the domestic game thus far, but we were hoping you'd be willing to weigh in on what you're most looking forward to in 2012. So you can go anywhere you like with this. What are you most looking forward to in the year ahead in the world of soccer?
Well, I think I'm really looking forward, number one, is the Montreal Impact joining Major League Soccer. You know, having three Canadian teams in the league now will be fantastic, and not to mention the rivalry that I hope will continue to develop in between Montreal and Toronto. I think that will be really exciting. The Euros as well, you know, kicking off in June. And I have to say, I'm actually getting married the first day of the European Championship. So,
congratulations.
Really, congratulations.
That really just sort of happened by accident, but...
are you getting married to a player who's in the Euro 2012 at all?
No, unfortunately. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Unfortunately not. I just really didn't give my fiancé any big props there at all. But, you know, everybody loves the World Cup, and it grips the world like nothing else. But the Euros are a lot, you know, they're really exciting for me just because it's, you know, it's smaller and every team involved, the caliber of play, I think, is a little bit higher. Not to say, I mean, you're not getting a team like, you know, Honduras. Not to offend anybody.
Why do you have to pick Honduras, Michelle? Why?
Hey, I love Amado Guevara like nobody else. But you know, I'm just saying the level of competition, I think, is that much higher.
So, in this very hotly contested competition here, who do you see taking the crown?
Well, my heart lies a little bit with Germany because I do have German roots, and I enjoy watching them play all the time. They seem to, you know, have a knack for scoring a lot of goals and scoring some great goals. But Spain is going to be, I think, very tough for a lot of people to beat. I mean, Spain, Italy in the same group, that'll probably go, you know, 1-2. Italy again, you know, and I think it's going to depend too. Everyone, you know, players are really pushing for their domestic sides right now, and it's, you know, hopefully no one's going to lose anybody to injury because that could be a major factor.
So, Michelle,
I guess I'm going with Spain, I guess.
Spain to win.
Well, I think so.
But Germany is the team of your heart.
Yes.
And if there are any injuries, hopefully your fiancé would be willing to step in and take whoever's place.
What? Yes, I'm sure he would be ready and able to jump right in there.
There you go. You saved the day.
When I think of Germany and international soccer, it always kind of reminds me of the Buffalo Bills, the American football team in the early 1990s.
Really?
They were so close to didn't they make the Super Bowl like four times in a row or something?
Yeah,
and I think of Germany, you know, Germany lost the final of Euro 2008, and they've lost, was it the semifinals of the last two World Cups, the final of the 2002 World Cup. Do you think maybe it's finally Germany's time here? They can finally win it all.
I hope so, and there's been, you know, a lot of change in the German team over the last while. They have some younger guys now, you know, but really exciting players as well. So you kind of hope so. I mean, I was at in Germany for the World Cup in 2010, and I got a greater appreciation just of the team and so I hope so. I mean, I think, you know, they believe that they'll, you know, they'll be able to accomplish that. But I guess we'll see. I mean, their group, they've got the Netherlands, Denmark, Portugal. You never know. Portugal's always a dark horse in there. But I think, you know, hopefully they should finish first in that group. So we'll see.
Grant, it's interesting you bring up the Buffalo Bills in
the
early
90s.
Because the announcer call that people always associate with their first heartbreaking loss is wide right. And when I hear wide right, I think John Terry in the Champions League final in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's going to offend you. It's not, because you're not reacting.
So much offend me as to crush my spirit.
Didn't you walk into the ocean in Nicaragua when that happened?
Sort of.
Yeah, you wandered sadly and alone into the ocean, and I thought you were just going to keep going.
Now, this brings us to the Champions League. Now, as you may or may not know, you probably don't know, but Michelle, that Grant is a Chelsea supporter. And,
I did read that.
Oh, really?
I was happy to hear that, yes.
Oh, really?
See, sorry.
Are you also a Chelsea fan?
I am, yes. I try not to, you know, when you're on the air and you do a show, people get angry at you when you out outwardly support someone. So we try. I
mean, only if it's Chelsea.
People that watch the show regularly sort of know my, you know, slight allegiance as well. But, you know, I try to not.
Well, I was hoping we could have you as an expert, impartial tiebreaker here between these two, but maybe that maybe we'll see how it goes, because Jamie is an Arsenal fan, so we were wondering, you know, the two of them have been arguing for a while now about which team is going to make it further in the Champions League, and we hoped that you could weigh in and break the tie, but I think I now know which way you may be leaning in that discussion.
Right. Well, obviously, Chelsea, I think, will go further. However, I will say, I wouldn't feel bad if Arsenal did go further. They've had a bit of a struggle this season, and I would be happy for Arsenal. I mean, it's not Manchester United, so I would feel, I enjoy. It's just with these two clubs, I think we've seen. You know, in the Premier League, it's almost like you never really know which team is going to play. Chelsea's had great games this year, same with Arsenal, and then they've also had games where you're just like, I don't even recognize that team. So it's hard to tell, but I think because Chelsea is now no chance they're going to win the league, it's going to be their number one priority to go as far as they can in Champions League.
Well, as an Arsenal fan, it's nice to hear you give them some props, although everybody this year is just giving them the nod for most improved player that even every you know, 5-year-old House League player knows is just the you were terrible at the beginning of the year award.
Right. And, you know, and I feel bad for Arsene Wenger, because when they were going through, you know, their terrible slide at the beginning, you know, and people, that's the first thing people do is start talking about sack the manager. And it's like, look, here's a guy that's been with the club, you know, for a long time, done a lot of good things, is a really good football manager. Mm-hmm. And just because, you know, it's like, so I'm glad, you know, I hate it when people start talking like that. So I'm glad that, you know, they didn't do anything drastic, and he's still there, and, you know, look at them now.
It is nice to see success for him, and he'll definitely win the award for manager who is most visibly grayed over the season. So it's not like Arsenal is without silverware, no matter what happens this year.
There you go. And I think he also could get, you know, manager that best wears the puffy jacket.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem right for him. He seems like a classy guy just stuck in a donut man jacket.
I don't get that coat, but anyway.
Well, he could be the Michelin mathematician.
Yes, he could. Yes.
Or maybe we can give him Martin O'Neill's baseball hat.
he could. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah. Now, Michelle, so in terms of the Champions League sort of as a whole, then, who do you think will win?
Well, I mean, everybody knows Barcelona is always tough to beat. I hope Bayern Munich keeps plugging along, and I mean they're doing well in the league this year as well. So no one really wants to see. Well, I guess Barcelona fans would like to see a repeat. I was lucky enough as well to be at the Champions League final last year, and they're just so good. They're just so good. I mean, they are now the best club team in the world after winning the FIFA Club Cup competition. But come on, it's just who's going to beat them? I guess is the like even if Chelsea got to the final, I don't see that happening.
That elicited a snicker from Grant, by the way.
I'm sure it did. One can dream.
Hey, well, I'll put it this way: the last time Chelsea made it to the final, they were Avram Grant, right? Well, the only time they made it to the final, but. It seemed like half the squad was in like open warfare with a manager, which almost seems like it's the case this time around. So who knows?
Yeah. Thankfully, their managerial situation has solidified since then, Grant. So,
yeah, no questions about him whatsoever. Yeah, he's having a great year.
Now, from the sounds of things, Chelsea won't take the Champions League. But how far will they get, or where will they finish in the domestic table? Do you think, Michelle?
Well, let's hope. I'm hoping for top three. I think it's possible. Spurs are 5 points up on them at the moment. One has to think. I'm enjoying Tottenham's run right now. Just as a fan of the game, it's great to see. We at the show we love listening to Harry Redknapp speak because he's always coming up with something interesting and hilarious to say. But you have to think. Well, I shouldn't say you have to think, but you might wonder how far they can take it, because I just don't think anyone will be able to overcome either of the Manchester sides. Who will take it is anyone's guess, perhaps. I would like to see City, because they've had a great season and they've been scoring a lot of goals, but we'll see.
I think Arsenal and Chelsea, who are now both on the fringe of the top four, might be interested in there's a famous episode where Tottenham a few years ago was one win away from taking Arsenal's place in the Champions League and finishing above Arsenal for the first time in God knows how many years. And the team went to a hotel and ate some, and a large portion of the team ate some bad lasagna and then had horrible food poisoning, and they lost that game, and then they lost their Champions League spot. So I think it's incumbent on Arsenal and Chelsea to start paying off some Italian chefs around London to really make some dodgy
lasagna.
Yeah, some dodgy pastas in the Tottenham area.
That might be a good idea.
Yep.
Or they could just train harder. But
it might just be poisoning the general Italian food population. It doesn't, maybe it's not a great idea, but I'm willing to look into it as an Arsenal fan.
Blue sky thinking.
I can't stomach the idea of Tottenham making it or finishing above Arsenal.
Yeah, that would be, we at the beginning of the year in the department, we all sort of did our top five picks, and I'm way off. I went with Chelsea because you have to as a fan. I said, well, they're going to win. I think I had Manchester City. I think I had them in fourth, so I was way off there.
Well, they sure showed you.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely, they sure showed me.
So, Michelle, I'm just going to ask you one last question here. I'm actually originally from Winnipeg myself, and it seems like you've taken a far less traveled path by moving from Toronto to Winnipeg. So I'm curious your thoughts on, I know there's going to be a PDL team in Winnipeg, I believe it's this season or next, I'm not even entirely sure, but how do you think soccer will fare again in that market?
There's a lot of, soccer is big here. I had the pleasure of hosting the Manitoba Soccer Association Awards Banquet last March, and there's a lot of very passionate people involved in the game here. PDL is, it's a hard sell anywhere. If it's, who knows? I'm not saying I don't think people will support it, but it's, everybody, it's the old, everybody always wants to see the highest caliber wherever you are. I think it will be supported. And I think it continues to grow here like it does across the country. I think, people are very excited about the Women's World Cup, and I think a lot of people are hoping that Winnipeg will get a game, and I know people will be out to support it for sure.
That's been Michelle Lissel, who you can catch on the Fox Soccer Report on Fox Sports World Canada every night, 18 times a day. Michelle, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now get into a regular feature here, promotion relegation, where we each take a story we like to promote and we take a story we don't like to relegate. So, Grant, for the first time in 2012, I will ask you, who or what would you like to promote?
I am promoting club coach in Argentina, Ricardo La Volpe.
That's two names.
Yep. He was fired. He was fired just prior to Christmas or at the end of December by his club, Banfield in Argentina. And he said, I believe it was yesterday, that he didn't get the memo. He literally received no official notification from the club that he'd been fired, even though they went into the media and made a statement and actually hired someone else, Uruguayan Jorge Da Silva.
That's three.
Yep.
I don't think that's...
Probably Jorge, but anyway.
Well, okay.
Jorge.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Brazilian juice company, which might have Neymar doing commercials for it in a vaguely racist commercial.
Okay. All right. So they've hired, they've hired a new coach, and La Volpe has basically said, so he said this yesterday, so the practice, their first practice back after the winter break is this morning, Thursday morning, and he said he's showing up at it, and he's going to direct the practice, and he sort of issued this thinly veiled threat to the new guy that he better not come. So I don't know how this is all going to play out by the time anyone listens to this, but...
Is he going to beat him up?
I don't know. He just kind of sort of subtly warned him that he shouldn't
stay at a Riverdale.
Jamie?
Yes.
I don't know if your story is going to include violence, but I'll ask anyway. Who or what would you like to promote?
My story includes not violence, but money. Cash, money, or at least commemorative money.
Well, they often go together.
I'm promoting the Royal Mint in the United Kingdom for they're minting a bunch of these commemorative coins for the Olympics, and one of them will have on its reverse side, there'll be the queen on one side, always, as you do, and on the other side will be an explanation, a graphic explanation of the offside rule.
What?
Yeah.
Why am I acting surprised? I read that story.
Oh, exactly. And I think it's worth promoting, because then the next time anyone's girlfriend who has access to these coins, so a lot of Englishmen, their girlfriend says, well, what does offside mean? They don't have to go through this whole rigmarole of arranging the salt and pepper shaker and then having the peas be the ball and just shore the coin and get out of there.
Jamie, I think that if you worked for a British broadcasting company, you'd have been fired by now for assuming that women don't know the offside rule.
I'm basically just basing this on my experience where my girlfriend has, on at least a dozen occasions, asked me what offside means. It doesn't apply to all women everywhere, but I'm just taking it from my personal experience.
I think Sion Massey probably knows the offside rule better than
millions
of British men. I am going to promote something that has not much to do with violence or money. It's McDonald's, the restaurant. Not that you should necessarily eat there, but I am promoting it because of the inspiration that it provided to young Canadian, well, he's not that young anymore, striker Simeon Jackson, currently at Norwich City, having a hell of a go of things as it has been since we last joined you. We scored two goals, including a late winner against Fulham.
A late equalizer against
Fulham, a dramatic game. But I found, Grant actually found it, and I stole it from a story on Goal.com by Ryan Benson talking to Simeon Jackson about the fact that he had to work at McDonald's when he was originally playing in England for Dulwich Hamlet, just to keep himself going. And he says in the story, Simeon says, quote, I drive past the McDonald's branch now and again. It was tough working there and still playing for Dulwich. But when you have a dream, you keep going. And I would like to imagine that the horrible, stomach-churning smell of the McNuggets frying is what made him think, I can't do this for a living. I need to go and be a professional footballer. And look how far he's come. So thank you, Ronald McDonald.
When you say it's what kept him going, do you mean financially or that he's got a bit of an addiction to the fries? Or
Well, I'm saying he wanted to get away from there as soon as possible.
I don't think he was fueled by food from McDonald's. He should be, should be conducted on him.
I think we all know which Canadian striker has been fueled by McDonald's.
Okay. All right.
Moving right along.
Grant.
Yes.
Who or what would you like to relegate?
Okay, well, my streak of foreign names is about to come to a crashing halt.
Jorge.
I am relegating.
This is number four.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen. I'm relegating the captain of the Macedonian football team, Valise Sumolakoski. I can't.
Well, you paused and had to start over again. That doesn't count.
No, I knew it wasn't going to count. Anyway, captain of the Macedonian football team was. It looks like he was arrested over the holidays for public drunkenness. He plays his soccer in a second division Russian side. So he's taken into the drunk tank, and the quote from the police officer who was with him in the drunk tank, the officer said, clearly intoxicated, he threatened to get the local chief of police and all his staff sacked by making just one telephone call and said he was willing to pay 100,000 euros for that. And the funniest thing about this for me is that normally when people make sort of belligerent, grandiose statements about, I can make one phone call and do this or that, they don't have to add in, they'll also need to pay 100,000 euros to make it happen. Usually it's just they're powerful enough that one phone call doesn't
trick. Just call his banker.
One phone call and a very high payment of money and you're done.
This guy sounds like the Macedonian soccer equivalent of Ed Belfour.
Yeah, did they have him trapped in a revolving door at the time?
I hope so. I really hope so.
I'll pay you €1 billion to get out of here. Jamie?
Yes.
Who or what would you like to relegate?
I'm relegating Tim Howard.
For his camo print jersey?
Well, no, I'm just relegating. Just consider it a blanket relegation of Everton for that. I'm relegating Tim Howard for scoring a goal yesterday as a keeper, an amazing, if extremely wind assisted clearance from inside his own 18 yard box, takes a ridiculous physics defying bounce over the keeper into the net. But he didn't celebrate at all, and I understand goaltenders union, and he knows how that guy feels, and he doesn't want to, rub it in or anything like that. But good God, man, that is amazing. You celebrate, all right? Because nobody gets to how many goals does Fernando Torres have this year? Wow. Tim Howard might be beating him in the scoring race. I just want to see a bit of emotion out of him.
So
and then he had the temerity to go on and let in two goals and lose.
Temerity.
Who is this guy? Who does he think he is?
So, Jamie, just to be clear, you're relegating an American for being insufficiently bellicose and self-aggrandizing.
Abroad, yes. He's not calling attention to himself while in Europe.
I wonder if Tim Howard also sews a Canadian flag on his backpack whenever he travels.
Yeah,
he might just do. Well, I'm going to go a bit international with my relegation as well. I'm going to relegate Suhana Khan, who none of you will know as the daughter of Bollywood legend Shah Rukh Khan. I am relegating her because evidently over the Christmas break or over the winter break, father and daughter were playing a game of soccer in Dubai, and Shah Rukh Khan, who I can't even think of a Hollywood equivalent. He essentially is the movie industry in India. He came out and he said he tweeted, quote, "Have hurt ribs, holiday soccer career nipped in the bud. Bah. Now to indulge in reading and video games. Hurts only when I laugh or breathe." So, I mean, it's good that Khan has a good sense of humor about it, but I'm relegating his daughter for inflicting this injury upon him because even if it's minor, it could have a significant impact on the Bollywood film industry. Shah Rukh Khan, since he started acting in 1992, has made 75 films, which is an average of 6.25 films per year, every year since 1992. He is a prolific man, and without him, this entire huge film industry could suffer, and it could endanger the release of what I have to imagine is one of the most anticipated films of the year, Kuchi Kuchi Hote Hai, which is an animated reimagining using dogs of his classic film Kuch Kuch Hote Hai. It has many of the same original actors in it. He's part of it. This rib injury could derail that. Ergo, I'm relegating his daughter for injuring him in Dubai in a soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest leap we've ever done in a promotion relegation.
I'm going to relegate him just for saying it hurts only when I breathe,
which is just a way to try
and man yourself up from saying it hurts every 3 to 5 seconds.
Hurts only when he laughs or breathes.
All right.
Sounds like it'd be pretty miserable.
Yeah, it only hurts when I'm awake.
That brings us to the end of promotion relegation, but not the end of this show, because we are, of course, going to get to Taste the Trivia. It's our weekly trivia challenge where not only the answers but also the questions are provided by you, the listeners, and you have a chance to win a new zip-up jacket courtesy of our friends at Umbro Canada. Last week, or I should say the question on the last episode of the show 2 weeks ago, was, there were four pieces of information we needed. When was the Canadian men's national team's longest win streak and undefeated streak? And how many games did they last? The answer was the longest undefeated streak was 15 games from September 2nd, 1999 to June 11th, 2000. Longest win streak was February 20th, 2000 to June 4th, 2000. Now, in the middle of that, as you may be aware, is the team's famous victory in the 2000 Gold Cup. The correct answer was eventually provided to us by David Panopoulos. He weighed in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/somecanadianguys, and he is now the proud owner of a new Zipro. If they're ever looking to rebrand, they can come up with that. Umbro Zip-Up Jacket, and he has provided us with this week's question for Taste the Trivia, which is, name five players of Greek heritage who have played for the Canadian men's national team and tell us how many caps they have for Canada. Players of Greek heritage, they might be born in Greece, they might be born in Canada, but of Greek heritage, who've played for the men's national team of Canada, how many caps they have.
Did George Strombolopoulos ever play for the Canadian national team?
Not that I know of, okay. but it is a good reminder there, because we are looking for correct spelling. We will need correctly spelled names.
Yes.
The thing to remember about Greek names is the OU comes before the O in Opolis. Think of Alex Anthopoulos, GM of the Blue Jays, baseball team. P-O-U. Oh, I'm going to screw it up now. Anyway, if you think you have the right answer, correctly spelled or not, weigh in at our Facebook page, facebook.com/somecanadianguys. If you are the first one to provide the correct answer, you will win a zip-up jacket from Umbro, and we'll provide the answer, or not the answer, but the question for next week's Taste the Trivia. And just quickly, this is not technically Taste the Trivia, but on the last show, Grant.
Yes.
You brought up the fact that in 1989, Canada was in the U16 World Cup against Argentina.
Yes.
You saw that Canada had scored a goal, and you were wondering, you know, who is this player that scored for Canada against a heavyweight nation like Argentina? A longtime fan of ours, Kevin Elder, weighed in on our Facebook page and let us know that it was actually an own goal.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. On next week's show, we're going to be hoping to speak to someone who has some experience in Canadian U-17 World Cups, and we'll leave that as a teaser. Jamie?
There won't be a prize, but if anybody can name who scored that own goal, We'd be much obliged.
Well, actually, I looked it up.
Oh, okay. You don't get a prize then, Squiz, but tell us.
My prize is being here in the studio with you guys. Luis Madero is what the FIFA match report tells us.
Well, so there you go.
I don't know where he went or what happened.
What he's up to these days.
Well, if anyone...
Maybe he's just about to fight Ricardo La Volpe.
Yeah, could be.
Wait a minute, Grant. Who scored that goal? That own goal for Argentina?
No, this is done.
Who scored that own goal for Argentina? I'm pointing at it on the sheet of paper.
Luis Madero.
Four! Grant, yep. You lived up to your New Year's resolution. Huzzah. What a great way to start the year. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can catch up with what we're doing. Grant and I are writing over at CanadianSoccerNews.com. This morning, Thursday morning, I put up an interview I did with Chelsea Buckland of the Canadian Women's National Team, so go and check that out. Jamie, I imagine you'll be writing something soon at Sportsnet.ca?
Yes, I've got something that might be going up today or tomorrow.
Holy bananas.
And you can also look for a very enlightening Q&A with Stephen Brunt and Canadian women's coach John Herdman in the next issue of Sportsnet magazine, which comes out next Thursday.
I've never heard of either of those people.
Well, you should read then.
Yeah, I'll have to learn. That'll be my New Year's resolution, learn how to read. While you're on the internet, as I said, you can weigh in on our Facebook page. You can also...
While you're on the internet,
which everyone is at all times, you can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at CDN Soccer Blog. Grant, where are you?
SCG Grant.
Jamie, where are you?
Doyle_Jamie.
We'll be hammering at you again next week. Till then, we are, as always, some Canadian guys talking about soccer.